Good afternoon and welcome to Stick and Hack Reacts. I'm Adam Grove from Stick and Hack. That is Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio in New York and host of The Pro Show. Keith, I hope you had a great Halloween. I'm sure you were dressed as me over the weekend and got a lot of candy for sorts. So happy post-Halloween Monday, the Monday crash. And if you have young kids out there listening, you know what this morning was like trying to ensure that they weren't smuggling 22 pounds of candy into their school bags like we had to do. Regardless, Keith, three topics today for you to react to. And we'll start with our favorite golfer, my favorite golfer, and I think America's favorite golfer, Lucas Herbert, who just won his first PGA event over the weekend, third all time. He won the Bermuda Championship in un-Bermuda-like weather, rain and wind and nastiness. Your reaction to Lucas Herbert beating your favorite Patrick Reed?
Well,
little slip love, in there. You slip just that love, one in.
You just love stoking the fire, don't you, Bryson? All right. Well, I'm going to give Lucas Herbert a big thumbs up. I'm going to give kind of the golf media a little bit of a meh. You know, everybody was down on this tournament, the Butterfield Bermuda Championships. They said, you know, the field wasn't strong enough to deserve a Masters invite, yada, yada. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a PGA Tour event. These guys are out there. They were great storylines. Lucas Herbert, 70, 65, 65, and then 69 on an absolutely awful day. I think there was hail at one point. you know, it was like, I loved your comment where you said it was like anti-Bermuda shorts. You know, yeah. It's like it was unbelievable weather for these guys to go to paradise and have anything but. But Lucas Herbert, man, Australian, really good golfer, part of a class of young, you know, kind of European Tour winner, two-time winner on that tour. He's now top 50 in the official world golf rankings. And the guy won $1.1 million, and he was strong down the stretch. I mean, he had guys come at him like Scott Stallings and, like you mentioned, Patrick Reed, Danny Lee. But in the end, the weather or the conditions or the pressure, Lucas did the best job, you know. And, you know, I salute him for that. I mean, think about the things that he gets out of this. I mean, everyone
wants
to
– Hold on. Keith, I don't want you to steal my thunder because this is my moment, okay? Oh. This is my hot take.
All right.
So don't steal my thunder, please.
All right, well, I'm giving Lucas Herbert a thumbs up. I think that he played really well.
Thank you. So here's my hot take. So over the past 6 months or so, I have repeatedly complained about the crossover season and how golf never seems to stop. And how it is, it's just week in after week out. And at some point you go, I don't even know what tournament is happening. I don't even know who's in it. The field is weak, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. However, what is cool about these tournaments, which I didn't realize until just earlier this morning when I was doing research for this, that the winner of these quote unquote, who cares tournaments, Lucas Herbert is now in the Masters in 2022, Players, PGA Championship, the money, sure, but he is now going to be at Augusta, which he wouldn't have had an invite. Plus, I think he's now in the top 50 in the world rankings with a win. It is incredible how someone's life can change with one victory. Now he gets to the Masters, the mecca of golf, and he's in two of the four majors just because he won the Bermuda Championship. So I guess I'm a little bit hesitant to talk about how much I hate the wraparound seasons here and how golf never stops, because it is changing somebody's life. So for that, my reaction is a huge thumbs up, because Lucas Herbert now gets to be at Augusta, and he wouldn't have had he not beat the sunny and smiling Patrick Reed. That's my hot take.
You know, I mean, just the guys that jumped into the top 10 that'll now get into Mayakoba that were on conditional status in the PGA Tour. If everyone shows up to these events or their limited field events like we had for the last 2 weeks, you know, we don't get some of these great storylines. And, you know, whether you know the names or not, like Vince Whaley and Lucas Herbert or Danny Lee, I mean, these guys are great players. They have fought long and hard on, you know, the different development tours, whether it's the Challenge Tour over in Europe to get to the European Tour or our Corn Ferry or McKenzie Tour, Latin American Tour. I mean, these are great storylines, and that's what golf's all about. I mean, it's about the journey, and it's about, you know, fighting your way up to the top, you know, just like you and I do every Monday.
I'll tell you this too, Keith. What I find extremely fascinating is that their reactions, I'm sure, of people like Herbert and some of those other names that you mentioned that I couldn't repeat if you gave me $1 million, that they are, when they get that roster of invites and who's going to be at that tournament, it's like being at your club and seeing that the top three guys at your club championship are on vacation that weekend. And now you've got a shot. So I think Lucas Herbert, who probably doesn't care even a little bit what I think, I'm proud of him and I'm excited for him that he's going to be at the Masters and that the wraparound season was a positive for him. Let's move to number two here. Reaction, Keith. The golf world was rocked a little bit. Shaken maybe is a better word. Rock might be a little dramatic. Shaken with some news from Greg Norman, the Shark, who is now CEO of, is it Live or Live or LIV? It doesn't matter. Who cares? He's the CEO of an upstart, relatively new golf league. But that really wasn't the news. He's basically just going to be partnering with the Asian Tour, and he gets $100 million to help the Asian Tour. Is that news right? Do I have that right? Was it rocked, or was it shaken, or do we care?
Maybe Norman. Shaken, not stirred. You know, I mean, it's there's a lot to come on this. Like any typical story in, you know, the sports world, whatever the initial kind of buzz is, it's this big blow up and everything. There was a good initial storyline there last week, but there wasn't a lot of substance behind it. So, you know, at this more point, questions. Thumbs down. What's right. that?
More questions than answers.
Yeah. So, you know, my reaction is thumb down. It's, you know, a lot of people are going nuts. They're like, oh, you know, Greg Norman is running this thing. And, you know, they were smart to partner with the Asian Tour and they supplemented them with $200 million. And, you know, there's an endless amount of money and they're going to get players. There's still no players that have signed up. Okay, so until you get, and I'm not talking about just if they get one guy like, you know, Bryson or Patrick Reed or JT or whomever, right? Lucas Herbert. I need to get like a substantial group of guys. You need to get me like 6 to 10 players that are going to go do this thing. They have an aggressive.
Let's walk us back, Keith. Right. So for those that aren't familiar with this storyline, and we've talked about it, we broached the topic, I think, last week. There is an upstart league that is trying to get its footing and to pull players from the PGA and to start their own golf league. So this is reminiscent. I live in Indiana, and racing is big here. It's basketball, corn, and racing, probably in that order. And in the mid-90s, IRL, the Indy Racing League, split away from CART and decided to take their own league and their own upstart league, which ultimately prevailed, and they swallowed up CART, and it's this whole racing storyline. And for those of you over 40, you remember that almost killed racing. You got the NFL and the AFL back in the 60s, right? You have all of these leagues. This is not a new storyline of a league trying to come up against the Goliath here. However, in golf, it has never been even remotely talked about or mentioned that there was anybody that had the power, the money, the resources to start their own golf league to take on the PGA. And that is what this is, seemingly the beginning kind of embers of this with Greg Norman.
Yes. And I mean, there's a lot going on here, but again, there's not a lot of substance. So my reaction at this point is at best meh. You know, and it's still probably a thumbs down. I need to see more of what's going on. I get that there's an endless amount of money, but there's an endless amount of money to do all sorts of things. You have Saudi backing, all right? As controversial as that is heading into the sports arena, so be it, right? We have the Greg Norman, the Shark on top, you know, big name. He definitely was somebody who was, he has a history with the PGA Tour. And it seems like sharks as well as elephants don't forget, because that was the early 90s when he tried to create the World Golf Tour. And Tim Finchem, who was the commissioner at the time of the PGA Tour, said no. And as you and I both know, there's world golf events that happen all the time, which is basically an idea that was started by Greg Norman. There are other parties that are getting involved. Just here in New Jersey, there was a site crew out looking at Trump Bedminster for a possible, what if you want to call this the World Golf Tour or the Greg Norman Golf Tour at this point, because we don't really have a name for it yet. They're trying to do 10 events in 2022. There's a lot to be written on this story to come. And at the end of the day, somebody like, you know, people ask me, and I talked about this a lot last week on my show, but why would Norman do this? And you and I, we have this kind of biased view of the golf world coming from America. But if you look at the world of golf, somebody like, we think of Greg Norman as being like a capitalist and the swashbuckler and everything, but he's from Australia. He takes a lot, he takes a great deal of pride in being from another country than America. And the PGA Tour, and just the way that you were talking about the fall wraparound season, doesn't allow for these other world tours to have big events. You know, back in the 90s, the Australian Open and the Australian PGA were in the November time zone, you know, and they would get big names to go. Tiger used to go down there, right? Now they don't have anyone going there because there's PGA Tour events right here that they can play in, and they're worth way more money. So I think Norman, going back to the early 90s, his reaction to all of this is that the PGA Tour is hampering the growth of worldwide tours, and he's trying to stick it to them. I think that that in and of itself was kind of the behind the scenes storyline that some were talking about and some weren't talking about last week, but we'll see where it goes. There have been a lot of tours that have tried over the years. And one of the reasons that you just don't watch the Korn Ferry Tour, Adam, is because there are no big names on there. And for the same reason that you were critical of Bermuda, because half the field was from the Korn Ferry Tour, is because you just don't know the names. And why more people watch the NFL versus college football or the smaller divisions in college football. So if they don't have any names, this might just be a big Halloween story in 2021. We'll see what happens.
Well, I have not made my decision yet. I know to the shock of many, I've not made my decision yet on how I feel about it. I think change is always good. I think growth is always good. And I think somebody coming in and saying, hey, let's do something different, do something better than what you've had for the last 40 years is exciting. And I think having somebody of a business power and prowess like Greg Norman does, and having a name attached to this league that is not some CEO that we've never heard of that was picked out of a hat, I think is exciting. So I'm going to hold judgment and hold my reaction because I'm allowed to do that until more comes out of this thing and we see what the next steps are. But all in all, keep your eyes on this story. And last week's announcement of Greg Norman as the CEO of, again, is it Live, Live, L-I-V? We don't know. It depends on who you ask, I guess, right?
At the end of the day, there's a lot to come on this. Competition is great for golf. There's no doubt about that. And if someone's going to push the PGA Tour to come up with a better product or to pay these athletes more money, I think that's a pretty good deal for all of us as fans. So I guess
With that, I take us into number three. And speaking of paying people for their golf efforts, the amateur golf world had some news last week in the collegiate space where the rules have laxed a little bit and they've untightened the reins on what collegiate athletes and collegiate golfers specifically can get and amateur golfers can get, not just college, but amateur golfers. They now have the ability to get money from any resource, from any place, in order, if I have this right, which is a 50-50 at best, they have the ability to have somebody else booster them and pay for them to get to these tournaments and do what they need to do for their career to climb. They can take endorsements. They can do things that they couldn't do before. And because of these rule changes, your reaction to amateur golf in general, maybe, let's start there, and then your reaction of the amateur golf rules that are now in place.
Yeah, amateur golf in general and, you know, kind of the growth chart that it's on, you know, the growth graph that it's on, Adam, big thumbs up, obviously. You know, the USGA events, the Western Amateur, the Northeast Amateur, all these fantastic events, the North, South, men's and women's events, the collegiate game, the coverage it gets on the Golf Channel, big thumbs up. I mean, I think it's great. I'm pretty meh on the name, image, and likeness, amateur status, amateur rules, USGA. The fact of the matter is, behind the scenes, every college kid or every elite amateur gets whatever equipment they need, all the golf balls they need, all the gloves that they need. So it's kind of, to me, a moot point that, you know, that now all of a sudden they're allowed to have more. I guess we'll see where this goes. It's much like Greg Norman's tour. Is it much ado about nothing? At the end of the day, I mean, if you're if one of your daughters, Adam, was a really good golfer and you couldn't afford to help her travel and play AJGA events, the AJGA, you know, has a stipend that it gives to families to help, you know, encourage them to be able to travel and play in their events. So, I mean, there's money going around in amateur golf to help it succeed and thrive and help the best players be able to compete and travel and have the proper equipment. So, you know, in golf versus maybe with the way basketball and football and those collegiate sports have been run, it's just a little bit different. So I love the trajectory that amateur golf is on. I love the fact that there's a ton of coverage on the women's amateur, on the men's amateur every summer. I love that, you know, I can turn on during weekdays and see college, you know, elite college golf, men's and women's college golf, the NCAA championships. All those things are great. But is the, you know, the name, image, and likeness ruling, are the amateur status rules changing much in what's going on in, you know, I mean, the Walker Cup team is playing at Seminole. You know, you right. think guys are suffering? Come on. You know, so at the end of the day, to me, it's kind of like it's definitely a meh. It's like, it's no big deal.
Well, this week is the Spirit International down in Texas. And that's always a big amateur event, bringing amateur golfers from around the world. Jordan Spieth and others have played in the Spirit International. And there are some tournaments that need to have a little bit more coverage and a little bit more love. But I think all in all, the amateur game is very strong. And we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg here, Keith, with that storyline and with amateur golf in general. And we'll probably do an entire show just on the reactions of amateur golf. But it's very exciting. Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio in New York and host of The Pro Show. I'm Adam Grubb with Stick and Hack. Don't forget tomorrow, shameless plug, coming to you in 3, 2, 1. We have Damon Hack on the Stick and Hack Show. Damon Hack from the Golf Channel and a co-host of The Morning Drive with Shane Bacon is going to be with us tomorrow on the Stick and Hack Show. So make sure you listen to that wherever you get your podcast. Keith, great to see you. I hope you had a great Halloween. Yeah.
You just mentioned that Halloween. I thought you were going to take your costume off because you, my friend, are no stick.
He wrote it earlier, folks, and he got it out just in the nick of time before I hit stop. You guys enjoy your day. Happy Monday. Thanks so much for listening to Stick and Hack Reacts. We'll see you next week for another reaction from Keith and Adam. Later.